Dr. Richard Jackson, the director of the National Center for Environmental Health, is with us, Bill Russell and me. I'm Paula Gordon. You do so many things here in the National Center for Environmental Health that I want you to talk a little bit about both genomics and the fact that you do so much research. I think a lot of us forget that the whole business of what do you do now that you've mapped the gene, that you can do stuff with it, and research is not irrelevant to that.
You know, one of the big areas of research that the Center for Environmental Health does is something we call biomonitoring. We actually put out reports every 2 years profiling the chemicals in the bodies of the American people. We've been doing that for a while. Over the last 5 years, the ability to identify genes in single individuals and to figure out whether they convey risks has become a bigger and bigger issue. The day will come 10 years from now when you go to your doctor, they will take a blood sample and they will customize the drug treatment that you receive or the prognosis of you will have, that is the predictive nature of what your outcome from a certain disease will be from looking at your genes. When we used to do epidemiologic studies, we even still do them now, where we go out and look to see who got sick and who's well and what was their exposure. And with the example of SARS, we look to see did they have the coronavirus or not, and were they in this hospital or that restaurant or not. But what we haven't done adequately is to actually look at how the people are different, because why are 3 or 5% of the people dying? It might be that they got a big dose, but it also might be that they have gene differences. And so the day is coming where we're going to be customizing many more of the things that we're doing in this area. And what I'm worried about as a public healther is there's such an onslaught of therapies and drugs and the rest coming at us. And there is a need to say, okay, don't tell every woman who's worried about breast cancer to go out and get this test if the test is no good. And if it's telling one woman, oh, get a mastectomy when she doesn't need it and someone else don't worry about it. And so there's a absolute need for very high quality control on all the new tests that are going to be put to the public around the area of genomics, genes. And that's one that CDC is becoming more and more involved in, and particularly looking at the prevalence, that is the number, the rate of various genes in the population. It's important to know whether 80% of us have this gene or only 1%. And so this kind of study is one of the other things we're doing. There's been a huge investment in research in our society. We spend about $29 billion a year at the National Institutes of Health creating research. There has been an underinvestment in taking that research out of the laboratory and really making a practical difference in people's lives. It's terrific that we can figure out with various tests whether a woman has a risk for cervical cancer using pap smears or breast cancer using mammograms. But when only a small percentage or a minority of women are receiving these treatments or the opportunity to receive them, we have not done a good job of getting the stuff off the shelf and out to the people that really need it.
So your research goes into all kinds of different things that are environmentally connected out of this center?
Well, this center, I'm actually touching on other things that go on at CDC, but you know, sooner or later, whether it's chronic disease or infectious disease or injuries, they always have an environmental aspect to them. And so we do touch on many of these as well.
Well, they all come together in the human body anyway. I mean, this is in some ways an artifice, all these divisions that you've created, because the subject is still the same subject.
You know, it's funny because we do this biomonitoring. We actually measure what's in people. And for 40 years now, we've been measuring what's in the air, what's in the water, what's in the food. But we really didn't know what is in people. And we'd use these charcoal tubes to collect what's in the air. Well, it turns out one of the best absorption media that we can use to figure out what people are exposed to is the people themselves. Their blood, their urine, their specimens
stuff.
kind enough to donate. But, you know, they get some benefit out of this as well. Some people have said, oh, you're doing this to scare people about low levels. But in truth, people do have the questions, and it's better to have good, solid, reliable information than just questions.
Dr. Richard Jackson, you have been most gracious with your time. I don't want to impose upon it. But if you can, in a minute and a half, in a very scary world for a lot of people, how does your work around environment affect the sense of, oh, there's now more terror than there used to be. I'm not convinced that that's the case, but there is the perception that it's a scarier world than it used to be. Is that part of your charge, too?
My center, the National Center for Environmental Health, does have responsibilities in thinking about preparing for chemical terrorism and radiologic terrorism. Now, there are other agencies that deal with this. We would deal with the human health aspects of, you know, how do we figure out whether people had an exposure to a chemical weapon or a normal industrial chemical that would be used as a weapon, or if a dirty bomb went off, whether this group was exposed or more less exposed. The bad news is we've had to think a lot of very unpleasant thoughts. I will tell you that there are many times after being briefed by my staff, I went home feeling very depressed. The good news is that we have really worked hard to beef up the presence of public health. And I think public health has been very much neglected in our society. And public health, yes, it means health for the poor, but it also means health for all, and not just for those that can afford the best medical care or the latest research, but really, let's get everyone up to a basic fundamental platform of decent health care. And one thing about, if you're doing good preparation for chemical and other kinds of biological terrorism, those same systems can be used to protect against normal infectious diseases. You know, a much bigger threat probably than anything we've been talking about is pandemic influenza, basically a flu that goes around the world. Huge number, 20 million people died in about 1918 from it. So there are much more normal threats that we need to think about. A friend of mine is talking about, yes, we think about bioterror, but bioerror is at least as important to be worried about.
And probably kills a lot more people.
I hope when you go home depressed about the bad stuff that you take a walk. Thank you, Dr. Richard Jackson. It's been our pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson. With so much at stake, we're glad to know that you're hard at work on behalf of both people and the environment. We'll be watching your work and that of your colleagues with great interest. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.